Welcome to the Skyhawks Coaches Corner. I'm your host, Bob Bonner, joined this week by head women's soccer coach, Damian Clark, and our show brought to you by Centura Health and Mercy Regional Medical Center. Damo, let's just jump into it. How you doing? The preseason's over.
Yeah.
You're ready to get going in RMAC play. How you feeling? How's it going?
I think good. I mean, honestly, at the end of the day, a very competitive, without a doubt.
Yeah, your preseason sort of had games. The whole don't mess with Texas vibe to
just
it.
Just a gamut of, you know, teams that I think four of the six teams that we played still remain undefeated, you know, either receiving votes or now in the, you know, top 25. You know, at one point, you know, I looked at it and I was like, man, I think their like combined records are 26-5-3. So we played against teams that expect to get in the national tournament.
Did you do it on purpose? Or were those, or did your preseason end up being maybe a little tougher than you anticipated?
Well, I mean, our program's always, we've always tried to set this up to be a team that would prepare itself to try and get into a national tournament, regardless of whether or not we were at that level. Those are the relationships that I have as a coach. So reaching out to get regional games means most of the time I'm going to play against my friends who I've known for a long time. But sure, I mean, I think we'll find a balance where, you know, I think three teams that look like for sure next year they're that top 25 caliber, and three teams that are, you know, on maybe not quite on that same tier, and see if we can balance that out a little bit. But at the same time, we grew pretty quickly, and thinking about, you know, if you look at West Texas, St. Mary's, and Angelo,
yeah.
You know, those are all teams that, you know, I knew were going to be looking at trying to win, you know, the Lone Star, or at least be in there with DBU, who's number one in the country. So looking at our progress from, you know, that really tough weekend of losing 3-0 twice to two very good teams in West Texas and St. Mary's, and then, you know, being able to go and get a result against Eastern, I think was needed, without a doubt.
And they were 2-1 going into that. They were looking for their third win in the preseason going into that game, so it wasn't like you padded yourself with a game there.
No.
You had a tough contest in that.
Yeah, I mean, I think we knew that if we didn't grow, that we would have a hard time in that game. I think we grew phenomenally inside that game. And then I think we went to Angelo, and I mean, we asked the kids to play in a different way and to, you know, take on another system to try and compete against a team that was going to be, you know, playing with a three-back system and two forwards. So we basically matched them, and we were pretty dang good. For sure, we'd like to create more in the attacking sense, but where we were losing the ball and the pressure that we were creating was so much higher up the field with us working at this system for an hour, you know what I mean, and then asking the kids to go out and perform.
How, you know, were you worried at all? And we'll talk a little more about your players probably in the second segment, but as a unit, you took the two tough 3-0 results. Were you worried, or did you kind of look around at the team and go, no, we're all right? You said Eastern New Mexico was almost a must win to you.
For
maybe
sure.
If you wouldn't have gotten that one, the worry would have set
man.
In. But
even
after 3-0, they were looking like, okay, we can move on.
I would be lying if I didn't say that between the West Texas and St. Mary's game that I was okay. Yeah. It wasn't okay. You know, I was definitely, you know, dealing with some fear. And I think the group as a whole dealing with some fear. They can feel it in me. I think any coach that pretends like, yeah, we're cool. We lost by 6 goals and we didn't score any. I feel like we're just going the right direction. Like, you're absolutely bonkers.
I hate it when you hear coaches say that.
You're lying.
It's just the process. process going the wrong way.
We all hate that word.
Yeah.
But I do think... the way that the loss has happened, there's different ways to lose. And the way that the loss has happened allowed us to frame some of it, you know, in a way that like, hey, like they scored in the first 50, St. Mary's scored in the first 50 seconds on a restart that like we were all trying to organize our defense, and goalkeeper looking at players that she's trying to get marked up, all of a sudden a ball rolls across the face of the goal into the far post, and you're like, okay, so that's how we're starting, you know, like. And then one of the best players, I think, in the region scores 3 minutes later on a great goal. So you're kind of like, okay, 2-0, first 3 minutes. Now let's see if we can find a way to just be tough for the rest of the game. So we were able to find ways to communicate, you know, that we're losing in unique ways. We're losing in situations where I've never been down 2-0 in the first 3 minutes in a game like that.
I was just going to ask, over the course of your career, those aren't, you know, you talk about preseason, this is when we learn, particularly, you know, yeah. You're usually talking about this is when the players learn. You're a veteran coach, but honestly, those were scenarios that you haven't been presented with over the course of a very successful career. So, yeah. Just a breathe a sigh of relief to emerge from that. Now you can look back and look back at it as a positive because, hey, we did all experience something and emerge from it.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. I mean, I think, you know, we're playing 20 to 19 to 21 kids in every one of these games. Still, you know, giving opportunity to players and figuring out, you know, where positionally inside of this system is she going to, you know, be of most value, and where is she going to fit inside of this system? So I think we're just getting to the point to where we really like how we're progressing in terms of, you know, systems that we can play and personnel that will fit into doing, you know, whatever the roles are inside of those different systems. And this week of training was really good, and coming off of, I think, the adaptability of this group last week is for sure feeling like we're going, you know, to keep making progress. And I think they've got it framed correctly. You know, they realize that we're getting better, and we're getting better with a really young group. I mean, it's 16 new players, 14 freshmen, and lots of freshman kids that are impacting, and so only two seniors. So you're looking at it's almost like the program just got flipped over,
right?
Since the return of, you know, Hope and I happened. And not that there's any excuse there, because we could have coached better in the last 3 or 4 years, there's no doubt. But I think we're just really beginning to grow into trusting this group. I think they're beginning to trust us, even though we've dealt with some really tough situations.
With the RMAC season now upon us, are you ready, or are you as ready as you're going to be with that young a team?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're as ready as we're going to be at this point. I think the message has continued to be like, this has always been a program that's been good at the end. Like we've only won the conference outright once, and we've won the conference tournament 5 times. So this is a team that traditionally has been like, and you look at the last 3 years, we make it into the conference tournament, and it's like at the end of the season when we're winning games. We want that again, as far as understanding that process of we're going to be good at the end, and, you know, we're going to suffer together at times in between now and then.
Right.
But at the end, if we're as good as we think we can get, and the best version of ourselves is there, then we're a tough draw. We're going to be a tough draw.
Particularly high school or college, where you're dealing with student athletes. That's really what it's all about. And I mean, if you're not learning every week, if you're not getting better, you're really not respecting what the call is, because it is supposed to be educational while being competitive at the same time.
For sure. Right? For sure. I mean, I can't say I don't agree, you know, anymore. I mean, that's something, you know, that's just, it's paramount to what we're doing. At the end of the day, I think the players are watching older veteran, you know, not that I'm old, but I've been doing it a long time, and both Hope and I are learning a load. And I think, you know, they see us being vulnerable and saying, oh, you know what, I think I got that wrong. Let's look at it like this. Let's change this. Let's tweak that. And I think the more that we can stay in that same sort of, you know, mindset of having to learn to get better, then I think the kids will do the same in the classroom. And traditionally, they always have, and you know, I think we'll continue to do that. But the same, I think, will hold true on the field.
Growing champions, we've heard athletic director Travis Whipple say that. Right. That's ultimately our job here.
Right.
We've got one of those champions in progress. McKenna Ford will join us later in the program. One more segment coming up with Coach Damian Clark, though. After the break, we'll talk about McKenna, some of the other players to look for on the pitch with the RMAC season coming up right after these. Welcome back to the Skyhawks Coaches Corner, brought to you by Centura Health and Mercy Regional Medical Center. I'm your host, Bob Bonner, joined this week by head women's soccer coach Damian Clark, coming off a big win against Eastern New Mexico last week to sort of wrap up your preseason, and then a tough loss to a really good Angelo State team. Let's jump into, before we start talking about the players, talk about the RMAC coming up. I think you guys got Pueblo to start with. You know, you got your must-win game one. I don't want to put any pressure on. And we just talked about how this really is a work in progress every year, and how you want to get better over the course of the season. But, you know, starting out with Pueblo, you know, it'd be nice to, if for nothing else, a young team's confidence to come out and put a good effort out and get a good result out of that game.
I agree. I mean, I think this is a game where, you know, last year Pueblo was sort of in a similar situation, had their back against the wall. We scored early and played really, really well until like the last 20 minutes, and they ended up nipping the result here. So I think there's a little bit of, without a doubt, a similar scenario for both teams, where both of us are probably feeling the pressure of, okay, like, sure, there's a process, but we need to get some short-term results in order for that process to keep moving forward as quickly as we all need it to and want it to.
A couple of hungry teams.
For sure. For sure, yeah.
So tell us about the RMAC. What does the conference look like? I mean, you guys are bringing a new crew to the table. Really. Are a lot of teams in that? But, you know, because I know the extra COVID year, that really last year sort of, it was all really surreal. I don't care what sport you're talking about. It sort of seemed like this weird, you know, Groundhog Day type year on a lot of levels. What, you know, was it that way all over the conference? Are a lot of teams going to be throwing a lot of fresh faces on the pitch this year?
I think probably about half the teams have, you know, a good returning crew. Half the teams are probably half and half. I'm not sure anybody has as many new players as we do this year. At just sort of, you know, the turnover of, you know, 8 or 9 seniors and, you know, a few other players.
Well, given the opportunity, again, I don't care which program you're talking about, kids who got a chance to spend an extra year in Durango,
for
Colorado,
sure.
Took it.
Yeah, and we have that too. I mean, a lot of kids that, you know, would be seniors, you know, this year have chosen to take that COVID year. So I think, you know, that says a lot about the way the players feel inside the program. They feel like, you know, we're working really hard to turn this over, and they're enjoying the experience, which I think is most important. But I think as a whole, like the conference, you know, we had a hard time with the Lone Star this year, and most of us came out of this scenario with these, you know, 5 or 6 games if we played Lone Star teams, and, you know, are a little bit probably a little bit stressed out about how good right now that conference is.
Right.
And I think it bodes well for us in terms of looking at other teams and knowing, okay, like, yeah, we're all going to have to get better if we want to be a conference that inside this region,
right,
you know, has a chance at coming out in the national tournaments, you know, at some point, and making the noise that once, you know, UCCS, ourselves, Regis, Mines, Metro, even, you know, I think Mesa is at that level now. Mm-hmm. Right? I think that the conference is going to be very tough, but at least it looks like most of us are probably losing similar level games, and going forward, we'll see, you know, in the next 3 or 4 weeks, what this all shakes out to be in terms of, you know, the conference play.
Does it look right now like the usual suspects, though? The UCCS, Mines, the two Denver schools, and maybe Mesa.
I think Metro is. I think Metro's another one to keep an eye on as well. The reality is that the conference keeps getting a little bit better every year in terms of, I think, women's soccer as a whole. Athletic departments are seeing that, you know, if we support this, we can be good. Colorado's a really good soccer state. And, you know, I think almost everybody inside the conference, you know, has a good scholarship set up. So they're starting to be able to really, you know, compete with the traditionals of, you know, Metro's always had a lot, you know, a lot. Regis has always had a little bit more. Mines has always had a little bit more. But I think you see the Mesas, you know, I think you see the Pueblos starting to see this as an opportunity to compete at a really high level if they support it.
Okay. Jump into looking at your roster now. Like I said, we've got McKenna Ford here. We'll talk to her in a little bit.
Yeah.
But, you know, who are some of the familiar faces? There aren't a lot of them besides McKenna that are back on the pitch. And,
and
which newcomers are we keeping an eye on?
You know, I think... The one thing to definitely think about and look at is, you know, there's three goalkeepers that are playing. You know, I've never heard of a coach or a team being willing to rotate all three goalkeepers. All of our goalkeepers are tremendous, and, you know, we're splitting games. Kitty Dunbabin, in a certain sense, is our number one and captain. But, you know, the other goalkeepers are playing a half of every game. So realistically, you know, I think we start there. And when you step forward, you know, you're looking at, I think Ellie Cook is the new addition to the back line, who was a redshirt last year. And she's, you know, turning herself, I mean, she did a really good job to take on that redshirt role and grow. She's a beast of an athlete and just, you know, a very, very strong kid on the back line. I think in the middle of the park, kind of usual suspects with the exception of Dan and Yake, who plays in the six, you know, and then Sabi and Gabby are doing a lot of work above her. But Dan and Yake, a kid from Grand Junction, sort of feels like she's trying to fill that big shoe that we lost, or those big shoes with Katie Smith stepping out. But just an absolute workhorse, fantastic energy, hard, just blue collar, and is really fun to watch. Up top, you know, it's right now, you know, Aubrey, of course, we know, Roz, Roslyn Gomez from Utah, and McKenna Ford, who you'll talk to here in a minute, are both kind of helping us up top, and both kids really, really smart, good at pressing and really reading the game really well so we can defend from the front. In the wide spaces, Josie Coulter is a kid from Montrose. And very good athlete as well, fun to watch. And I think you'll see a handful of other younger players rotating through those wide midfield positions, and a lot of energy inside of, you know, I think what they're doing for us.
What do you in know that I'm still a novice when it comes to soccer? So help me out a little bit, or, you know, is there a Damian Clark style of soccer that you know Fort Lewis brings to the table, or does that come with do you look down the roster and sort of take what the game gives you from the athletes you got? What should fans look for? I mean, is stylistically from your team?
Well, I think, you know, traditionally this has always been a programs both men and women that we were better at keeping the ball than most teams that we're ever going to play against. I think we went away from that for a few years and got pretty pragmatic. We're less pragmatic right now. I think we're trying to play, and our kids are. I think that's part of what they're so excited about is we're not just grinding out a result and sitting in our half and looking to counter. We're trying to get on the ball. We're trying to keep the ball, and if we have to counter to win, we'll counter to win. But I think at the end of the day, this is a team that we play because we want to have joy, and you don't have joy without the ball.
And that really is someone who's pretty new to soccer, that, and I'm a big hockey guy, so it's the same thing there. Possession is fun, and even as a spectator, you know, just seeing owning the ball, owning the pitch, I guess,
right.
as you that's, guys would say.
That's
and,
it.
And that's something you feel fans are going to see more of, and it'll be noticeable for people this year?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think even that first weekend, you know, watching us, we kept the ball in our half the entire time. We had a hard time getting over the half line just because of the fact that we were looking to go right to left and try and find different situations to go forward, and we just weren't quite there yet. I think we found a little bit more inside of what we're doing to get the team over the half line and allow us to keep the ball higher up the field and produce pressure higher up the field when we lose it, so that when we gain it back, we're a little bit closer to their goal, which is obviously
the goal.
That is the goal.
All right. Hey, thanks to Damian Clark for joining me on the Coach's Show this week. We're not quite done. We've got one more segment to go. McKenna Ford will join us right after this. Thanks, Coach.
Thank you.
Welcome back to the Skyhawks Coaches Corner, brought to you by Centura Health and Mercy Regional Medical Center. Bob Bonner, your host. We're talking women's soccer this week, and I've got with me now newly anointed team captain of the Skyhawks soccer team, McKenna Ford. Thanks for joining us, McKenna.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, now let's jump right into that a little bit. What we talked with Coach Clark. I mean, Katie Smith, wore some big shoes around here and threw a pretty big shadow for a few years. You know, everybody knew where the leadership was going to come from on this mm-hmm. team the last couple of years. Are you excited to be stepping into that role? Is it a little daunting? A little mix of all of that? How's it feel?
I think it's a mix of both. I'm really excited for the opportunity, but it is a little daunting just because I know that Katie was like a really big piece on our team, but I think I'm ready for the challenge to kind of just find my voice and kind of shape the team on the field and off the field.
Does it change who you are as a player? I mean, particularly that you're up front, you're in a different part of the field from Kay, but does that change your game? You know, it seems like being up front, and again, soccer novice, but mm-hmm. it seems like you'd move a little more independently and stuff than she would.
Right.
Are you going to be cognizant of that at all, or do you get to just keep playing your game and being the cat? You lead by playing your game, and that's the example you set.
I think just playing the game that I play and kind of doing that example, I think a big part of why they picked me to be a captain was because of my energy on the field and kind of having everybody raise to that level, and so I think I'm going to continue to do that and then kind of work from there and try to get better on my communication skills and everything. So,
what would you say, I mean, if there was one thing to, you know, pick out as a quality that you bring to the game or a quality of your game, is it energy? Is that what you hang your hat on?
Yes, I'd say my work ethic and just something that I can really control is that. And so just really focusing on that and bringing that to the game and trying to get everybody else to raise to that level as well.
Now, is work ethic, is that a in-game and out-of-game thing for you? Or you know, or does it go to a next level at game time? You know, define work ethic a little bit.
I'd say it goes to a level when I'm on the field. I think I play way more aggressively when I'm on the field and just trying to, like, communicate to everybody what I expect. And just trying to keep the ball, I think that's like a really big piece. And also just getting into like really big tackles, I think that's really helped us in the past kind of like set the tone when we get into those tackles. So kind of being the one to kind of set that for everybody.
Okay. What's it like with all the younger players this year? I mean, there's a lot of new faces. Do you guys have to wear name tags the first couple of days? You know, a different experience, I'm guessing, or was it kind of the same as coming in any other year?
It was a little hectic just because there were so many girls, but at the same time, I was really excited personally just because you kind of see like a different type of playing style from everybody, and you kind of just see where they go.
Was there those first few practices, you know, you come in going, oh, let's see what this is going to be. And did it turn to, you know, did you have plenty of, oh, all right, moments watching some of your new teammates do some stuff?
Yeah, there was a lot of things that I was super surprised with and I was really excited for coming in. A lot of their work rates are really, really good, and just their attitudes on the field are like
good energy amazing. This year. Yeah. Everything yeah. feels good.
It does.
And that's despite the, you know, the rough start we mm-hmm. talked to Coach about. As a veteran player, did you know, well, one, you hadn't necessarily been through that before either.
Right.
Probably a little easier to take as a veteran than for some of the younger ones. Was yeah. Is that sort of maybe where you started to step up in that leadership role? Was everybody like, oh, what's going to happen next, and Coach had to save you? Or were some of you able to sort of look at your younger counterparts yeah. and say, we're okay?
I think a big piece of it was, I think we all kind of were freaking out as well. I think we all kind of were like, what's going on? But I think once that kind of first shock set in, I kind of like sat down and I was like, I just have to be able to pull this team back together. And by doing that, like, you got to do things that you can control instead of the things that you can't control. And so that means like your attitude, like obviously you can control your attitude. And so just staying positive and just working really hard and just waiting for the result, I think is kind of what my mindset was, and just trying to get everybody around to agree with that.
Big relief getting the monkey off your back against mm-hmm. Eastern.
Yes.
How's it feel now? I mean, are you guys feeling good with RMAC coming up?
Do
you
yes.
feel like you're battle tested, obviously?
Yeah.
And so is confidence high?
Yes. Win? Yes. I think this week we've been super, we've been very intense this week. I think that a lot of girls have really brought a lot of energy, and I think a lot of people are excited for a conference to start and to see what happens.
Good. How about you? Any personal goals for this season, or is the captain just bucking team goals all the way now?
Yeah, I just think just continuing to do what I'm doing and focus on that and focus on getting the team going as well. I think that's a big cool. piece for me.
All right. Yeah. Hey, to wrap things up, since it's your first time, I usually do it to the coaches too, but Damo's been here before. I do a little thing called the one, and I want you to just say the one thing that pops in your mind. Five questions, just a little rapid fire. Right?
Oh gosh, okay.
So, and don't worry, it's not great. Although everybody's going to hear it. So, all right, McKenna. First one's an easy one. Okay. What's your favorite sports movie?
Remember the Titans.
Good. That's a good one. There isn't a lot of really good soccer movies out there. We need to kind of do something about that. How about your favorite athlete, professional, college, whatever? Who's your favorite
Julie
athlete?
Julie Ertz.
There you go. Now we do have some soccer examples there. maybe this would be the question of who's your least favorite athlete, I guess. Is there anybody in your career, high school, college, that just probably brought out the best in you, but just someone that, I mean, did you have a rival at any point in your career growing up?
I'm trying to think. I don't think so. I mean, we had rival schools back in high school, mm-hmm. and I think that really, that was like the only thing really, okay. but nobody like personally or anything.
Okay.
Yeah.
How about what's your toughest moment in sports? What was the hardest you've had to take a punch in your career?
I think this season, to be honest, I really think I think the start was kind of, I kind of think it killed the energy a little bit just going into like the season opener and everything.
Now replaced a little bit with pride to
yes.
still be standing after it.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So, and then last question, so you've made it through so far, is the easy one. What's your one shining moment to this point? What's your top experience right now?
Collegiately?
Yeah, anywhere.
I think
high school, college.
I think the captain's title, I think that's a really yeah. big thing for me. I think it just,
you've been on a heck of a roller coaster already, and the conference season hasn't even started this year.
Yeah.
You had your high and your low already, and
I know.
It's the middle of September.
Yeah, it's
so,
been crazy.
You know, but that's got to be fun too.
Yeah.
And I mean, looking back on it, it is all about experience,
mm-hmm.
and you guys have set yourselves up for probably a heck of a season. Do you think, I mean,
yeah.
really to wrap it up, are you guys prepared? Are you
yes.
ready?
Yeah, I think so. I think that the teams that we played in Texas were really good, but I think at the same time, they really set us up for conference in a way. I think that we saw like really good competition, and I think it's something that we're prepared for now.
Awesome. Well, good luck with it.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us, McKenna Ford, Damian Clark. This has been the Skyhawks Coaches Corner. I'm your host, Bob Bonner. Thanks to our sponsors, Centura Health and Mercy Regional Medical Center. And we'll catch you next week.